The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. That's quite the gospel lesson, isn't it? I am only glad that this is one of the few times in all the years I have been preaching that it did not fall on Father's Day. So many times it does. Jesus gathers together the 12. They are like his children. He gathers them together to give them an important message, a warning. A warning that starts out, "Do not fear." Now, everybody who has been a parent or a child knows that there are certain time-honored things that as a parent you say to a child and as a child you receive from your parents. Just a couple of them to remind you of what I'm talking about. One of the first is, "Don't take candy from a stranger." That is usually followed by, "Don't run with scissors." "Eat your broccoli, it's good for you." And when you come to a crosswalk, "Stop and look both ways before you cross the street." I'm not exactly sure of what has happened to our fair city, Seattle, in the last several decades. I don't know. It appears that everybody has forgotten to stop and look both ways. Crosswalks. But Jesus has a new understanding of crosswalks. I single them out this morning because he wants to give his children, his followers, those closest to him, a warning. And it's about crosswalks. In bringing them together, Jesus says, "Whoever does not take up the cross and walk with me or follow me is not worthy of me." Then if that take up your cross thing wasn't enough to scare you, Jesus elaborates a little further. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. See what I mean? Jesus gives a whole new meaning to the word crosswalk. Where once you thought a crosswalk was a safe place, perhaps even the best place to cross the street, Jesus' idea of a crosswalk is for everyone who chooses to follow him, to take up their cross and walk with him. That is a pretty scary thought. So I asked you earlier, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What is it that makes your heart pound and your palms sweat, your voice tremble and your hands shake, your knees go weak? What are you afraid of? Do you know what the number one fear people have? It might surprise you, and then again, it might not. You might think it's things that go bump in the night or shadows on the wall, those creepy things like snakes and spiders that crawl out and surprise you. For some, it might be a stock market crash or their 401k. What are you afraid of? Far and away, and I mean far and away, more than death, more than the loss of a loved one, more than the things that go bump in the night or even global terrorism, the number one fear of Americans is public speaking. Seriously, public speaking. And I think that is true. That is my experience. My experience with congregations and people in the faith. When it comes to publicly speaking about your faith, it's like, no, I can't do that. I can't share that. In today's gospel, Jesus says, do not fear. Have no fear, Jesus says. Have no fear of those who would discredit you because of your Christian faith. Have no fear of those who use the Constitution of the United States to oppress freedom of faith. Have no fear of those who like to point out the misdeeds of our brothers and sisters in the faith and our own misdeeds. And do not fear those who are eager to expose your Christian faith as some kind of sham. Jesus makes clear in today's gospel reading that those who follow him should not be either intimidated nor oppressed because of their faith in him. But I'm guessing here, but I think I'm on pretty solid ground when I say the number one fear that the faithful have is to publicly proclaim their faith in Jesus Christ. To tell others how their faith in the Savior gives them hope, even in the worst of times. And here is where I want to make a distinction between proclaiming the faith and proclaiming the hope. The two are synonymous. What we truly have in our hearts is that hope. That hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That hope in a God who is loving and merciful, gracious and kind. That hope in the midst of the very worst. What is it about the Christian community? What is it about faith that we carry with us that hope? That in the worst of times, be it a mudslide that washes away a house and even a family, be it a cancer diagnosis or a shooting on a college campus, there is something in all those who follow Jesus Christ, who crosswalk with him, that have that hope. The Apostle Peter put it best in his first letter when he wrote, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for your hope, for the hope that you have." And then adds, "But do this with gentleness and respect." My experience with people in the faith community is that they are reluctant to talk about the hope that lies within their heart. Reluctant because they fear they will find themselves in some kind of argument with some Bible thumper. And every Lutheran I know, and this is probably true of every Christian I know, does not feel that they can adequately defend the Bible. You're not asked to defend the Bible. You're asked to speak of that hope. the hope in a gracious and loving and merciful God. But it is, I know, easy to find yourselves in a battle royal with somebody over the interpretation of creation, marriage, global warming, you name it. But it is that hope. It is that hope we have in that loving and merciful God that we are asked to proclaim, especially to those who are experiencing great difficulty. In all of our readings this morning, from the prophet Jeremiah to the apostle St. Paul, to Jesus himself, it is about hope, the hope we have that there is a gracious and loving God who has the power to reconcile, who has the power to bring us together in the most difficult of times. Do not be afraid to speak of that hope. Jesus uses two surprising images to convey the message that those who follow him need not be afraid. One image is of the single sparrow, and the other of that of counting hairs on your head. In Jesus' day, two sparrows were sold for a penny. And if you were willing to buy four sparrows for two pennies, a fifth sparrow was thrown in for free. That should give you some idea of what little value sparrows had. But nevertheless, even that extra sparrow, even that single sparrow's well-being is not too small a concern for our God. And how much more is God concerned with those who are the sheep of God's flock? And then added to this assurance is the amazing image of God counting the hairs on the heads of those who follow him. Granted, to many this process is made easier with age, but nevertheless, it is a powerful thing, a powerful image of God's loving concern for every aspect of our being. Being a crosswalker, a follower of Jesus, is not an easy thing to do, despite the fact that preachers and poets will tell you Jesus has the answers. There are more questions. We are asked to speak and to proclaim the love of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus challenges us to live that faith, to be a crosswalker, and not to be afraid to take the cross of Christ into the streets or into the suites, into the halls of justice, and into the places where men and women of faith have been wounded and hurt, and not be afraid to offer up the hope of reconciliation, the power of a loving and gracious God to bring us together. It is always tempting for us to wrap ourselves in the blanket of fear and then hang on to it. But when we are wrapped in the blanket of fear, we cannot extend our hands or our arms to reach out to others as Christ reached out to us in his reconciling death on the cross and in his resurrection. To proclaim the hope that is in our hearts, in a loving and gracious and merciful God, is to extend our hands and arms to welcome the world as Christ extended his arms on the cross to embrace the whole world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.